This is The View from TAV. I'm Jim Menick.
I'm John Cruz.
And I'm Chris Palmer.
And this is episode 56 for those two people who have written on the blog, when are the next episodes coming? Well, here they are, or here it is, or whatever. We're coming off of a couple of things. We were just chatting before we got pressed the record button about NDCA, and I want to talk about TOC as well. But I first want to say about NDCA, Chris, we did miss you there, and I'm glad everything is back together at home, but I really wanted to go hang around in Las Vegas with you.
Yeah. Well, that's hilarious in a way, because I actually hate Las Vegas.
How can you hate Las Vegas? I mean, there's so many weird things.
Said that.
It is just not my place. I'm not a... Well, first of all, I don't like gambling.
You don't have to gamble. I spent 10 minutes gambling.
Yeah, people say that, but you know, at the end of the day, Vegas says you can do anything in Vegas, but the real thing you got to do in Vegas is gamble, and I'm just not, you know... Everything else is to amuse people while they're not gambling.
Yeah, but all that amusement, I walked around the streets for like a day, and it was just never-ending, look at that.
Yeah, people watching.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people watching is fantastic.
Well, the one thing I did, NFL's was in Vegas in 2008, and I was there for that, and I do very much wish I was there for the NDCA tournament, but I couldn't be. But the one thing I did notice on the strip, people watching, is that you see a family. And the adults are very happy because Vegas is adult Disney World, right? Yeah. And the kids are happy, the little kids are happy because they're staring around at all the pretty lights and shininess, and that appeals to small children. But then you see the 15-year-old who's trailing behind, and those are the most miserable people you have ever seen in their life because they're old enough to want to do all the adult things, but they obviously can't.
That's absolutely it. They are just out of the loop, and they're like...
There is nothing in Vegas for a 16-year-old, a kid, and they just will shuffle along in that sullen teenage sulk that we all as debate coaches know very, very well.
The best thing they can go to the show, so they get 2 hours at night when they may be entertained, because the show's pretty, there's good shows. You can find a show there's 27 Cirque du Soleil shows, so you can find one of them that you will like, so you go to a Cirque du Soleil, and they're very good, but after that, the kids have... nothing to do. When I went there 1 year, and it was at the height of when it was going to be a family destination. Mm-hmm. And so every hotel had things for kids to do, but it was forced. It really wasn't there. Even now, you go to the Excalibur, they have a SpongeBob SquarePants ride. And I walked by, there was SpongeBob. I could have shaken. No, I guess he was like a statue of SpongeBob. Like a golden statue of SpongeBob or something. But anyhow, I mean, it was like, okay, there's 10 minutes, and then what? But it was the whole city had been like that for a while, and then they just realized, this isn't working. Yeah, because it really is. It is about gambling more than anything else.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just not my thing. I would not go there unless it was something like NDCA, and there was a good reason to go there external to being Vegas. So.
I like looking at it, though. I mean, there's something about these buildings, the people, the stuff going on, the street activity.
I don't know. I guess I've seen it, and I hate people. So there you are.
Well, no, I agree. I can understand that.
Cruz knows. I hid all weekend during the TOC. People didn't know where the hell I was. So.
Speaking of the TOC, can we congratulate Chris on Rawstar winning the TOC? This is a little weird that we have.
You can tell where our priorities are.
However long this conversation. Okay. Congratulations.
Well,
it was an incredible achievement.
That's great. For somebody who keeps complaining
deserved.
They want to quit LD.
That's right.
Jeez. Yeah, well, been there, done that, right?
So. Yeah. I mean, you've done it now, so you can quit. I mean, we're going to be able to quit before. But Noah, who I have notoriously judged and written about, having judged him.
For the record, the other kid was worse.
Has also, I've seen Noah around. He's judged at my tournament. He's a good egg. I mean, I like the idea that a good egg is the person who wins. Although I have to admit, the people I know who have done, have won. Well, actually, the people I know, period, in debate tend to be mostly good eggs. And certainly the ones that get into that level of debate and that, do that well. They got a good head on their shoulders for other stuff. Where's he going to college, by the way?
He is headed to Northwestern, and he may or may not be doing NDT debate next year, which is college policy. And the director of the Northwestern debate program watched the final round and one of our one-year outs who was with us on the policy side is debating for Northwestern and did very well in his freshman year. Was in quarterfinals at the NDT.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Arjun Velyapin. And so Fitz is in the back of the room watching Noah, and all of a sudden Arjun's phone starts going off and saying, he wants to debate? He's coming to Northwestern? Is he interested? What's his interest level? Is he going to be gone? So Fitz was impressed, I think. So
good.
But yeah, he'll be headed off there, and he's very happy. And no, he's also just a great kid. I mean, you know, I'm allowed to gush a little bit as a coach.
Sure.
Here. Noah, the reason why Noah won, and the reason why Noah's good at debate, is because Noah has that ability to not take anything criticism of him personally. You know, Noah has, you can tell him, look, you screwed up. These three things were bad. They were awful. You don't do that. Don't do this. This was a boneheaded move. You know, you can just really just break it apart. And he doesn't view that as reflections on him. He views it as simply on the debate. So he doesn't make the same mistake twice. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of kids I find are very touchy about things like that. They don't have mm-hmm. the sort of bedrock confidence to really look at the debate as separate from the debater. But Noah's ability to step outside himself and look at what he's doing as somehow external to him and therefore be able to correct everything just meant that by the time we got to the TOC, he just wasn't making mistakes anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did pretty well in NDCA as well.
You know, yep.
So. I mean, that was one of the things. I mean, you're still going to be involved in NDCA next year, right? I mean,
yep.
We need more judges at the end. I was getting.
Well, the trouble we had with that is, did you see what flights cost? Dear Lord.
I know. The whole point of going to Las Vegas is that it's supposed to be cheap. I had like a $400 flight or something.
I was looking at flights in the $650, $700 range from the East Coast. We just couldn't afford to bring people.
Yeah.
Next year it will be hosted by Montgomery Bell Academy in Nashville.
Yeah, great host.
So hopefully that will be a little easier to get in and out of for just about everybody, actually. I mean, it's not such a bad trip from the West Coast either.
No. Pairing those. I mean, the last round was okay, but the semifinal round. Believe me. The thing is, we had two schools: your school and who was the other school that had two kids in at the same time. Either one of which could have closed out, and both of whom could have been in the semis. That could have been those two schools in both semi rounds, and literally no one to judge them.
That would have been devastating because, unfortunately, me being the person hiring them, I hire people who I know, and therefore they're all conflicted against our school.
Right, which I didn't even know at the beginning. So I'm like, and Beats told me this because he was in town, and he's like, I think it was like the very first round or something. I had, you know, our higher judges were judging Lexington. They can't judge Lexington. Oh, no.
It should have been marked on our press sheet.
It didn't get to us. This is one of the things about TRPC, whether, you know, conflicts and stuff like that don't necessarily come through. The field's not that big. It's like 50 kids or something like that.
Yeah,
and I was meticulous about going over all this stuff because I had the time, you know. I had all day Friday, so I went over every damn thing that I had and never saw anything like that, you know, which is, you know, you can really screw something up. But anyhow, in the event, it actually worked out well. But anyhow, TOC, which is the real thing I wanted to talk about. So you guys both come from TOC, and I had posted something about TOC and the way, and we've talked about TOC in the past. So, I mean, first of all, there was a lot of talk going into this particular TOC that would be changed to some extent, that there would be improvements in terms of the experience for the people who were there. So I mean, the big question is, was that true, and if so, how, or if not, how?
Well, there were two very significant changes that I noticed, and the first, of course, only applied to a couple people, but the final round was no longer that sort of bizarre preset final panel of cast of thousands, whether or not you like them. They gave us a strike card with seven judges on it, and we each got to strike two. And I mean, I felt it was a very good final panel, and I would imagine the other debater did too. It was a fairly mutual panel, I think, I would imagine.
We used to do that back when I first started going, and I was actually on that final panel. It was, you know, two strikes. Everybody, you know, both sides got a couple of strikes, and you can get it down to five or three or whatever. And that was it, you know, which makes sense, you know.
But for a while, they did sort of a sort of NFL-ish show parade style where, you know, they took the greatest hits of coaches and put them on the final panel without much regard for mutuality, I think.
I think they had people who had a flight the next day.
Yeah, well, that
the,
too.
Requirement, you know, to judge that round.
So that was, in my opinion, a positive change. And then the breakfast was free, which was, you know, very good. And they did the breakfast ceremony a little differently and a little better, in my opinion. They didn't have you eat in the room. They put a buffet outside, and then the seats were set up auditorium style. So it both made it a little bit more focused, and also it was less distracting when people were inevitably coming in and out. It took away less focus from what was going on, I felt. So I liked that.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I didn't mind the auditorium style seating, and I actually agree with you that it was less distracting. But a couple of people who I spoke to thought that it was like there was kind of a people watching element to the Breakfast of Champions that people liked that they missed. On the other hand, I remember when the breakfast was crammed into that really tiny room at like the Red Roof Inn or whatever it was before it was at the Hilton, and that was not people watching. That was trying to struggle to breathe. So
it was that Ramada, right?
Right, yeah, or the Ramada, yeah. Right. It turned into Ramada. Yeah. Ramada, formerly the Harley or whatever it was.
God, that was terrible.
So,
I agree. On a hotel note, actually, when I told Sarah that we were that you and Jovan and the Scarsdale kids were staying at the La Quinta, she misheard me and thought I had said the Lucky Tucky. I just want to say right now that there needs to be a hotel in Lysander named the Lucky Tucky. Only problem that it also sounds kind of like a strip club.
Yes,
you know. So. Help.
I think there were a couple of other positive changes also. One thing that was – well, two huge changes for us that I loved. First, they had these meal cards that you could buy directly from the tournament that were very reasonably priced. And then like they provided a lunch as well on a Sunday, like a banquet lunch, which was very good actually. It was kind of delicious, and that was good, and it made it – it took away the serious wandering off problem with the TFC. We went to a real wandering off, but also just like the annoyance of
coming from
yes, exactly. So I certified as the world's worst wandering off, which is the I'm starving at the TFC wandering off. That was just gone, and I really, really appreciated.
But there was
that.
Always the that thing, place down the road to eat.
Well, sure, yeah, like, but
wandering to an Arby's or stuff like that is just not pleasant. So
even on a wider road. When you're at a tournament like that, which is so high intensity and you take it so seriously, it's the last tournament all year. You want to have additional friction behind little logistical things, right? Exactly. You want to minimize the amount of distractions and keep your focus on the actual debates and not have to walk 15 minutes to get lunch.
That's right.
I get that.
Another thing is that they actually had like food for judges, morning food. That was a very subtle thing. I was bouncing between the venues, and there was food. Well, I started off my mornings in the public forum debate. We had kids in all divisions. We had a young squad this year, relatively. So, like, as I joked around, I said, well, this is like the least pressure I've ever felt in the TOC. So I was like, I feel way more relaxed than I normally do.
But for yourself.
Whatever. Okay, anyway.
Not saying it was worth it, but it took a lot out of me.
Absolutely. That's what I was saying. If I'm exhausted tonight, I can only imagine. You must be catatonic. But anyway, they had food that was based around in different judge areas. Now, I have to be honest with you, I'm not sure where it was in LD, but it was pretty prominent in most of the other divisions. So I know there was some sort of room that had like breakfast style food in it, because I saw people coming out of it at LD. Not quite sure where it was, though. I think it was on the second floor. Well, at PF, though, it was right where everybody was assembled.
We weren't in the LD land either. I kept telling people who said, where were you all weekend? I said, oh, we're Lexington. We hide.
Right. Yeah,
we found a little bunker somewhere and crawled up. And for that tournament alone, I find that's good for team focus and keeping the kids.
That's actually why we weren't at the tournament hotel in the first place. We wanted to be some of those convenient but not distracting. So there was food, there was coffee, there was orange juice, stuff like that, and bagels and whatnot. I really appreciated that. I actually thought of all the changes I saw, that was unreal to walk in and actually see hospitality.
Have you ever gone to a tournament that doesn't have bagels, coffee, and orange juice?
I'm aware of that. If we're going to
break.
It's not giving a break. That's not fair, because if we're going to spend all our time criticizing the TOC when there's a new director of the TOC and she's trying to make those changes, I think just dismissing the change out of hand is not fair.
I'm not dismissing the change, but I'm not thinking.
Yes, we know. We got it.
I mean, they are bringing it up to the standard that should have been expected of it years ago. However, the fact is that we all know that making changes at a tournament, even if they're changes that everybody else has made, is difficult. And, you know, one of the rules I always had for myself at Yale is you only make one big change each year, because if you make more than one change, you can't observe the effect the change had properly, because they interact with each other. So as much as, yes, every tournament should have, you know, some friggin' bagels somewhere, and for crying out loud, why isn't the TOC, is true. At the same time, getting the logistics of that together and understanding how it fits into the rest of your tournament is non-trivial. So I can't really say that, you know, I really blame her for the mistakes that were made 5 years before she became director. Sure. Speaking of Andrea Reed, the director. Yeah.
So I think I would just sort of group all these things together with significant hospitality changes, which are good. And yes,
which
maybe
we're needed. We're absolutely needed. Yeah. So yeah, no, I don't want to, you know, I think bringing it up to what we consider normal is a very good thing. But I also don't think it's like worthy of like too much. You know, it's like, well, that's good. That's nice. That's what they should do.
Well, they were also coupled together with noticeable reductions in fees, and I appreciate that.
Well, that, now that's a different thing. Now, the thing that I was thinking, now, weren't they doing something beyond just taking the money?
Yes,
I mean, they were giving money out and
scholarships.
And now that, to me, is a very, very strong, good thing.
Yes.
So what exactly were they doing?
My understanding is that this year it was for the policy debate division, and they were pretty open about that. They said that we can't just overnight suddenly have scholarships every division. We just don't have the money to do that.
Because, I appreciate that.
You know, that's honest. You know, that's honest. But she was pretty clear at the Breakfast of Champions that the goal was to have it in every division for next year. They had started some sort of nonprofit foundation, and I know about that because they had – they were pretty aggressive in terms of approaching alumni of programs. And I really appreciated the way that they did it, because when they reached out to me about Bronx Science alumni from way back, they were pretty direct. They said, are these people that we can ask for money, or would it be uncomfortable because they're already giving you money? And I was like, wow. Because in my experience, other organizations in debate, you know, that try to sort of dip from the pockets of alumni, which is understandable. We all need donations and whatnot, don't always ask the alma mater, if you will, like what they think about that. And I thought that was pretty cool. That's just, you know, again, that's just my experience. But it seemed like JW had been deputized during the weekend to sort of entertain the people who were the donors and whatnot. And I thought that was actually pretty cool, because, you know, obviously to those kinds of people, there's not going to be any memory of Andrea. I mean, she's younger than I am, but like there is obviously memory of JW and an appreciation of JW. And I thought that was a pretty cool role for him to play.
Yeah, that is interesting. You know, the other thing that I'm sort of dawning on me now that you're talking about this, and I don't want to make this all about me and our team success, but one of the things, and you asked earlier, what's it like to win the TOC? One of the things I'm realizing now is I have no idea what was going on during that tournament.
Of course.
None whatsoever. Because I was the entire time, like everybody, almost everybody except for two, are focused in, you know, at one point, drop off, and then they get to put their heads up and look around and see what's going on around them, and, you know, have a sense of what's going, you know, what is occurring that is not a debate. But at no point during that tournament was I not either in a debate or preparing for the next one. So I actually have no friggin' clue what's going on.
That's totally understandable. I will say that from my perspective, somebody who was all over the place across events and whatnot, I thought that the changes in hospitality and the changes in price were very much appreciated.
Yep.
I thought that actually one thing that I thought that was sort of an interesting note is that we didn't, you know, I'm just going to mention this for a moment. The tournament added an oratory and extemp round robin, and we had an orator in it, and I really wasn't sure what to expect. I thought that this would be sort of, well, who knows what this would be. And it ended up being great, actually. It was really good. First of all, it was very competitive, the two divisions. And I thought it was a nice touch. I the one thing that was weird, and this is just specific to Bronx Science, but hearing speech warm-ups in the morning, this is the most stressful morning of the year, which is the Saturday morning of the TSC, actually somehow, like, I couldn't be angry because I heard speech warm-ups. I'm like, this is so surreal.
That
we were doing
bizarre.
Like the funky chicken in the hallway. What the hell is going on here?
That
so
is
it was really bizarre. It was bizarre. But
how many kids were in the round robins?
They're pretty small. I think that I think they were 18. They could have been between 12 and 18. I think they were 18.
And did
each?
They do like just two rounds of six, or did they do head to head?
They had this weird. I'll send out. You know what? We'll talk. Let's talk about the format in a later edition, only because
sure.
I think it's worth reading over and then discussing because it was really interesting. Actually, yeah. It was 6 rounds in total, though.
Well, I could look it up. They directed it on Tabroom.com, which I didn't even know about until I saw it pairing. It's like I recognize that.
Yeah. So.
Bill Cooper asked me to judge the Extem final, which I told him I'd be willing to do if Noah was out of it by then. And well behold, so yeah.
Sure. but yeah, it was a well run thing, and it didn't disrupt the character of the TOC, which I thought was good.
Well, what's interesting about the TOC is, and one of the things about the character of the TOC is, you don't see anybody outside your universe.
Right.
Like a lot of tournaments, you're in the middle of a hustle bustle, and it's kind of like a we're all in it together attitude. But on our team, we have a common war room. We set up a little room in a basement of a far-off building, and the policy and the LD people work together. But until we started doing that, I would never have any idea that was going on, even when I was there with a school that had other divisions. If I was in PF land, I saw PFers, and only PFers. And then maybe at the award ceremony, I'd run into all my friends who had been there for 3 days, too. And so that's interesting, too. That applies evidently to the speech people, too, because I didn't see them anywhere.
It's true.
Yeah.
But it was well done. So overall, I had a very good time at the TOC.
I think what you're saying, though, okay. I mean, there are like really objective things that have improved.
Yes. Right.
Which is good. Well, it's Andrea. There's someone else that also runs it. Isn't there some other
Dave Arnett? Dave Arnett is also the coach, right?
Yeah. Okay, so
but she's really in charge. I mean, Andrea.
Okay, so
really
she deserves credit then for doing that kind of stuff.
Well, and also speaking as again the guy who was in there till the end, at no point did I feel at no point did I feel the tournament was getting in the way of the debating. Right.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, like I didn't have any. Like I've been to a lot of tournaments where something happens and you get a really crappy judge panel, or there's just something you got to put up with and you don't want to, or at some point you're just like, I don't know, this is stupid. And at no point during this entire experience was I ever sufficiently distracted from the debating to be upset about anything, and that's a very good sign. I mean,
that's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah. So
I mean, that's one of the things about Andrea. One thing about Andrea that I think is worth noting is that, she's in her 20s. She debated for Dave Houston. She was part of the high school debate community and now the college community. So she kind of like knows the deal with what worked and didn't work at the TOC. And I think that's just a really interesting dynamic as the director of the TOC, because she's pretty open about that. At least I find in like the advisory committee meetings and whatnot. And the other thing that should be noted is that I know that the official list hasn't been published and whatnot yet, but Andrea was pretty. And this is really worth noting because it's something we've talked about a lot on this podcast before. She was pretty direct about hating college tournaments that treat LD like crap and treat high schoolers like a money making machine crap, which is interesting because she is obviously conscious of the fact that the TOC like has that reputation. And I guess she's trying her best to change it within boundaries. Because, I mean, let's be real. It's not going to become free overnight. It is the fundraiser for
no, the university. They can charge. But they also have provided a service of, the excellent judging and so forth and so on. So, you can do it. I mean, they can do it. But they have to do some other stuff as well.
I mean,
they're not providing the judging.
To be fair, they're not providing the judging.
But, I mean, it's going to be there.
Honestly, that does give me my biggest sticking point with the TOC is that they don't hire judging. I do think that they should take, even if they hired from within, like even if they said, offered $100 to everybody, like the top 10 most highly preferred judges in the pool to stay till the end or something like that.
Yeah.
They could improve the tournament a lot. I don't have any problem with the judging we got anyway because people donate their time and stay beyond their commitments, but that shouldn't be required. There should be provision for that. And so I do think that that's a major area they can still improve in.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Well, do you still have a thing?
Sorry.
Do you still have a thing with the bids, the at-large bids, where you can pay an awful lot of money and not go? And if you do get accepted, then you still have to pay?
No, no, no. If you do get it, and she changed it this year, so if you do get accepted, it goes towards your entry fees.
Okay, that makes that.
It's absorbed. That's much better.
Yeah, that
I didn't even know that. We got the last debater in, in fact.
Yes, she changed. That was actually something that she did. What was interesting is, as I recall from the advisory committee meeting, you know, when she came to the TSC, she sort of just inherited everything. And she even said, she's like, that's incredibly stupid. I mean, you know, that's shameless, basically.
Yeah, so. I mean, it really builds up a bad feeling. Like, I got to pay not to go, and then I got to pay X. I got to pay twice as much, essentially.
It's absorbed, and in fact, they actually made a clerical error and overcharged me by, like, I don't know, like $10 or whatever off some of these at-large fees. And Andrea herself personally emailed and said, whoops, sorry, let me take care of that for you. So I was like, cool. You know, that's pretty cool.
No, that's a good change.
But she was pretty blunt about standing up to colleges that don't provide hospitality, but even more than hospitality, that don't honor tab commitments, don't honor, you know, don't do what the community expects. And I think that people, I don't know that, you know, I think people will see that in some of the bid changes and whatnot, which is
interesting. She also made brief mention to me about how they have not been good in the past about getting word out of various things. And I have heard, I only talked to her very, very briefly. We've talked in email before, but we had never met in person before this tournament. But I have heard that she is going to be talking to me about various online projects that I may have been volunteered for at a committee meeting.
Yes, that is true. But anyway.
Yeah. So I will glare in your general direction, Mr. Cruz, and also in the general direction of Scarsdale, New York, I think is probably appropriate. So
I have a question. Now, Chris, you were doing a lot of judging, right? I mean, over the weekend.
Me? No.
Weren't you? I saw something you're posting you had done about judging. I just sort of assumed you were in a bunch of
that's
rounds.
One of the funny things about the TOC is no one really judges a lot. Mm-hmm. They always have way too many rounds because people bring their entourages and put them in for a couple rounds apiece. But I was only put in for two flights.
So you really didn't judge them in
actual debates. Yeah, most of the Elim pairings are not pairings I would have been mutual for. All of the people who would have highly preferred me were hitting people who would not have. Right. So it's just kind of lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that the TOC's conflict guidelines are pretty stringent, and people take a higher threshold for what is and what is not a conflict. We conflicted people that we have never conflicted before for this tournament. Mm-hmm. And for one reason or another, Lexington, we had a pretty substantial entourage. You know, we had Carlton Bone, kind of, we were sharing coaching with him. Reagan Grishaper was sort of like an ancillary member of our entourage. And a lot of those people are people who would prefer me as well. And they couldn't, therefore, be judged by me at this tournament.
Right.
So I judged. But that said, actually, and I have to give a shout out to the four debaters I did judge. They were two of the most enjoyable debates I've had in a long, long time. And one was between Sammy Canolda Byram and Chase Hamilton, who I had never judged before from Flower Mound in Texas. And the other one was between Michelle Choi from Harvard Westlake and Terrence Lonham from Lake Highland Prep. And I've had a lot of issues with some things in debate this year, and particularly on this topic. I've had a lot of crappy rounds that I've judged that become unresolvable mess. But both of those debates were really and truly deserving of a national championship tournament, and I enjoyed them both a great, great deal.
Nice.
So I was really pleased by that. So,
John, you were over in PF world.
Well, I was actually split across events. I suppose I have, my fortunes have dwindled in terms of my preferences, I suppose, in Lincoln Douglas debate, but that's okay. If it is, it's okay. The reality is,
for the record, we gave you a two.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Look, the reality is that I certainly don't judge as much as I used to, and I definitely don't judge as much LD as I used to, because when I do judge, I try to judge across events. Like, I've actually been pretty good this year judging in most of the events my team does. So, I mean, honestly, if I were a kid at the TSC, I don't know that I would want me as a, you know, I wouldn't want John Cruz really necessarily as a judge. If I feel that the activity is evolving every 3 seconds, that there are new terms that even people who are 1 year out think they have, you know, have never heard of and whatnot. So
unless you have discourse feminism, Kay, like we did, that's your name.
Yeah, see, well, that I would have enjoyed hearing that. But I wasn't struck off the final panel in public forum debate, so life is good.
They don't know you yet, so.
Right. No, they want me there. They love having the crews over there. So,
but how was public forum going?
Public forum was good, actually. I judged some really, really good debates. I judged one round where that has inspired me to write a rostrum article or some type of article about evidence in public forum that was not so good. But for the most part, all the rounds I judged were really excellent, actually.
I doubt if they changed anything this year in tabbing. It was a Cheryl.
It was Cheryl and Tim.
So I mean, it's the same. I had suggested a few things, and I don't know if they did them. I never heard them becoming official because they were changes of policy that they'd have to discuss, and I didn't come up with them until after the fact. So,
well, they did allow people to strike first year out judges. Yeah. They didn't allow strikes beyond that, to my knowledge. Although I kept hearing that they were going to.
I had suggested that they give just a couple of strikes.
Well, I think next year that is what they're doing. Because
and the other thing was geographic biases needed to be included, because there is such these people hate each other if they know each other.
And so they, tapped. You know, I did. Did you do the region thing?
I didn't do region. You said you had done it. And see, I didn't do it because
It
wasn't one of the rules, and I'm following the rules.
I did it anyway.
I told Andrea that they should do it because, you know, these people all have a history with each other, and there's no reason for them to be, you know, get that history to play into it. Yeah. Doesn't have to, you know, take it out.
The year I ran PF Tab, I found it was not when Andrea was there. It was the year before Andrea. So the directors were John Sharp and Roger Solt. And I mostly worked with Roger. And he just mostly gave me a lot of leeway in how to put it together. So I created a bunch of regions. And for those in the audience who don't know, the region thing refers to a feature in TRPC where you can assign each school to one of up to 10, I believe, regions. And what that will do is it will give you both the option of trying to assign judging such that the judge comes from neither of the regions of the two teams, or the two teams if they're hitting their own region from their own one region, and it will also prevent people from presets hitting people from their same region, which is a nice thing to do so that if you go to a big travel tournament, you don't end up, you know, hitting the school that's 2 miles away from your house. The whole point is geographic diversity.
The funny thing is, when we talk, but you talk about the geographic thing, I mean, my reason for it at TOC would be because these people hate each other, whereas there was another thing where it was the exact opposite.
Right.
I would do regions because they love each other way too much. Remember
that's what I'd be more
at Bronx before you were at Bronx Jump in the wilderness years, and there was a group from one region which I won't mention that would just, if they had a judge from that region, the kid from that region always picked up. I mean, it was embarrassingly corrupt.
Yeah. Regions that hack for themselves, and there's a region that take the machete to each selves and literally hack each other. So.
And it's so rare that it really sticks out, because I've only seen it those two times, I saw it at the TOC, and I saw it in Bronx.
It's the same reason, presumably, the National Forensic League has the region rules. I think that's probably a good choice. You know, when the national title is on the line,
they do it not by district, they do it by state. You can't judge your own state at the National Forensic League, which is a very good idea, I believe.
Yeah, sure, I agree. You ought to be able to pick up these people. You ought to be, you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, at least for most of the events. I mean,
on the flip side, though, I think that that's why we don't do that on the LD side of things, because I think the PF is truly still an event where the TOC is the first time they all come together like that.
Yeah.
Whereas there wasn't a single person in the Elim bracket at LD that I didn't know.
Right.
No, you know, is much more of its own.
And I'm sure
circuit.
Policy has to be the same thing, too.
Oh, much more the same.
You know, you have to know the judges, because there's so much technical stuff. You need to know that those judges know the technical stuff. So it's not so much you know the judge or that they're from your state, it's that you know their abilities to understand what you're talking about.
But I also think that there's much less focus on local tournaments, and so you're much likely to see a debater who's two states away. I mean, we debated more against, say, Jeffrey Kristoff and Andrew Eckholm and Grant Weisberg, people from New York in our own region. We debated with them more outside of our region than we did in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
it's interesting.
So to what extent are they really from our region when we see them mostly in Georgia?
But you hit Noah hit Andrew, didn't he, in like
semis.
Quarters? In semis?
Yep.
Yeah, I hated that. Yeah, hey, these are my two guys I know. I like these guys. Oh,
well, there's a couple of those. There we hit Farhan Damani from Green Hill as Sarah Sanchez in quarters. And as Sarah Sanchez likes to put it, Lexington Green Hill relations are at an all-time high. Jake Niebel did a lot to mentor Noah, and he's Farhan's coach. And so after Noah won that debate, I told them, I said, that felt a little bit like suicide. But, you know, it's just it's the nature of the beast is what it is. And then we get Andrew from our own region. Mm-hmm. And then there was a potential we would have gotten Reagan Grishaber in the finals if he had won the semifinal. So it would have just been fratricide left and right. Nothing against Bob. It's not like we dislike him. But, you know, Reagan's kind of like, your own teammates are brothers, he's kind of like a cousin, you know?
Right. It looked like the at least the 16 were all from all over the map. I mean, it was a nice distribution. I like to see there are a few of us from the Northeast there, but there are other people there as well.
The one factor, though, that was a little uncomfortable, especially on this topic, is that there were no women in the quarterfinal.
Yes.
Only one in the octafinal, and only two in the break round. And
that, I didn't notice because I was just looking at the regions they were from or the people. And it was true. I mean, certainly, the guys were from Northeast.
Rebecca
were all guys. Banks
from Green Hill was the only one to make the octafinal, and she dropped out at that point. So, it was a, I don't know, it was noted, and it did come up in one round and also, but it was it was just particularly kind of troubling.
Yeah.
Go ahead. The other interesting tidbit for the TOC is that Policy was won by Iowa City West, who were very much a dark horse and were not expected to win it. The two favored teams, as it were, hit noctos against each other, actually. That represents the first time in, I believe, 11 or so years that Green Hill, Glenbrooks North, or Wood Westminster did not win the TOC. So it's amazing how concentrated Policy is among an even smaller and more elite set of schools, whereas the only school to repeat, the last time a school repeated without it actually being the same debater, because Chris Tice won it 2 years in a row, but the last school repeat was back in like 95, 96 or something, when Valley won twice in a row with two different debaters. So
it's true.
So I thought that was an interesting contrast between the worlds of Policy and the worlds of LD.
No, that's a good observation.
And also, not to blow our own horn, but Lexington High School has now become the only school to, in the history of the TFC, won all three debate divisions.
That is true.
How'd you guys, Chris? How'd you guys do in oratory?
We did not. We did not do any such thing.
See, you're going to fall behind. You know?
Yeah. Gotta keep up with the Joneses.
Gotta get a Congress squad in
over
and get all
my
four.
Dead rotting corpse. I make no bones about it. I hate judging and coaching Congress so much. I just do. It's not my event. I can't do it. Though I did accidentally at camp once judge a Congress national champion.
You accidentally did that. That's good.
Well, he came for extemp, and we taught him all this extemp stuff, but he didn't really have a lot of time to do extemp, and so he switched into Congress so his teammates could do extemp at nationals, and he ended up like accidentally winning in the Senate in 2009. And so I go up to him in the award ceremony, like, Ben, it looks like you took up a hobby, huh?
There used to be a thing where these odd LDers would go flying off and win Congress in NFL. Yeah. I mean, it was done around here. Who's the guy from? There's a guy. What's that guy from Florida did it? And what's his name did it? Adam Zirkin did it.
We also, there's a tendency now that extempers go into PF and they often will do well. And we're teaching much the same skills. It's not that specialized.
Sure.
So. No, it's good. So anyway, you guys are sounding like, I mean, for the most part, TOC is moving in the right direction.
I thought so. I was very pleased.
How many hours was the meeting of the advisory?
It was only 3 hours.
That's ridiculous.
It's what it was set. Well,
only?
Yeah,
only 3 hours.
Well, relative to last year, that is only. It was set to be three
no
hours.
No tears this time.
I would say no tears. I would say that we spent about under 2 hours on the tournaments themselves, and the rest of the time we talked about like TOC tournament issues and whatnot, which I thought was good.
I mean, you should be talking to you guys about that sort of thing,
right? So, we were pretty quick. It was not the drama filled session of last year, and it's no secret that there was a lot of drama at last year's meeting, but this was pretty smooth and pretty efficient. I was pleased. I mean, it is long, but like I said, it wasn't all about tournaments. It wasn't all, you know, arguing over things. A lot of it just had to do with Andrea Reid. And again, this is, I think, a very positive step, sort of saying, tell me what we need to do in this event, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And then discussing what, here's what we're doing. Here's what I think. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's good.
Right. And that takes a lot, too, because, again, you know, as much as the changes can be expected and demanded by everybody, sure. the friction of change itself comes with a cost. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, you need to prioritize things and you need to plan for them. And it's not free. You can't just suddenly magically make something an excellent tournament. So, I mean...
No, it takes time. You're right. I mean, it should be one step at a time.
Yeah. I mean, Bronx is an excellent example. I mean, Cruz, when you went to Bronx, you knew how to run a very good tournament, but it still took you about 5 years to get that excellent tournament because you can't just wave your fairy magic wand and make it all work. And I'm sure you have many fairy magic wands, and so there's proof in point. And I would like the record to note that I didn't plan that joke. It just sort of happened on its own.
We now have a name for the episode. Yes, okay.
I just was like, oh, wow, I just gave myself an opportunity. Let's go with it. All right.
Well, okay, I think that's good. I don't know. I just want to point out one thing about this. Speaking of episodes and whatever, we were in Las Vegas. Cruz actually found someone that does listen to the show.
This really?
It's true.
The brother, you kept like, you brought this guy out of a crowd. This guy listens. Look, he listens to the show, you know. And the guy was like, yeah.
I'm reminded of the Star Trek, the William Shatner appearance on Saturday Night Live, where he just said, get a life.
Well, we got two people that wrote and said they want, when's the next episode, with demand in their typing.
Nice. You know,
so, whatever. So, but we didn't, I mean, for a while... Well, it is hard. It is hard to get together. And John and I were talking about other things to do too. We do want to bring other people onto the show.
Yeah,
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And we'll probably. I mean, I don't know if we'll do much. I mean, season does sort of. It is sort of ending now. I don't know how, if we'll do it again. Too much for a little while.
I'll be at the CFL tournament helping out on their tech side of things with Tab.
Really, you haven't been there in a while.
Yeah, I wasn't able to go the last couple of years because of various family things, but. They still use tabroom.com and do like to have me on hand if anything explodes. So,
you just want to be in Baltimore. You know?
Clearly, that's it.
Baltimore.
I'm actually taking the train all the way down, which I'm kind of looking forward to. I love train rides. So.
Train rides are cool.
Yep. Yeah.
It's nice about 6 hours or so from here. So.
Nice way to go.
You going
to
be there, Cruz? Or?
I will not. We will have some speakers there with some of the assistants, but I will be visiting my Aunt Florrie and paying a visit to Mr. Sodico down in Florida.
Ah, weekend, actually. Okay, the pilgrimage of the Bronx.
Yes,
indeed. He doesn't have Disney this year, so he can't work it in.
That's right.
He has to go separately. Say hello to Richard for us. You know.
We'll do.
You're not going, are you, Jim?
No. We have one speechy that did qualify, but Kathy will go. So.
Oh, okay.
Is that Noah?
Yeah.
Yeah, the little ruffian, as it were.
Yeah, the Panavor Jr., as I like to call him. He doesn't eat anything either, but he claims that he does. Oh, I eat everything. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, all kinds of bread, right?
More bread than Sophie. That's the most you can say for him.
Fair enough.
So he's our representative.
Good.
There,
so he's going to do very well. He's an excellent speaker.
He's a good kid.
Good. All right, guys. So, take care.
Have a good night.
Okay. Good night.